The four-wheel drive, large tire, huge engine, modified mini tour bus roared as it bounced up the steep road. The passengers were adding more and more layers of clothes as they traveled from 80 degrees to 30 degrees. In just a few hours, we went from sea level to 13,796 feet. We went from the light of being under partly cloudy skies to the dense fog of being in a cloud to the radiance of being above the clouds. From sea floor base to peak, Hawaii's Mauna Kea is the tallest mountain on Earth. At the summit, the wind pushed us around, wildly flapping anything that was loose. The air smelled fresh and pure. We breathed deep, struggling to get enough oxygen from air that had 40% less oxygen. The horizon was rolling, fluffy clouds that were constantly changing colors as the sun set. Peering at the distance, you could see the curvature of the earth. The sun was huge, intensely radiant. Even with sunglasses and shielding my eyes, I could only look at the sun for a few seconds. Standing still, it felt like I was flying. Leslie's hug gave me the warm sensation of love, or maybe she was just blocking the wind and the wind chill. The sunset filled the sky with dazzling, luminous, radiant colors before the sun said goodnight with a sliver of light. We got back on the bus and drove down from the summit to a wind-shielded, warmer spot to view the stars. I was concerned because we went back down into the cloud, but our guide assured us that it would soon be clear because as the sun set, the temperature drops, causing the clouds to descend a few thousand feet per hour. A clear sky emerged with twinkling stars. Stars that looked so small, yet they are big, if not bigger, than that sun that was blinding me just moments before. Our guide focused the large telescope on a variety of stars, planets, and galaxies, explaining that some of them were thousands of light years away. Some of the stars no longer even exist, yet their light is still traveling to Earth. I was overwhelmed with a sense that I am really, really minuscule. So small. But in that moment, I also felt the wonder of freedom and love. I am so small, making what I worry and fret about even smaller. The stuff I have, the things I do, are so tiny. My life on Earth, in terms of light years, is a mere instant. My body, what can be seen and touched, is mainly water and some deteriorating cells. Compared to the enormity of the universe, I am so small. My time on Earth is fleeting. Yet I and you have infinite value because we are loved by God. Our mistakes and worries are tiny. Joy and love is abundant. Our soul lives forever. Love we receive or share endures forever. I cannot quite find words that can explain that moment, and I'm still discovering new insights from that moment every day. Somehow I woke up. I laid down my burdens. Scales fell from my eyes. I sensed new dimensions. Realizing how very small I am revealed the enormity of God's grace. All my faults, mistakes, worries, burdens were swallowed up by a black hole, freeing me to soar in God's love, in Leslie's love. All my senses were flooded with instances of joy, laughter, playfulness from moments from my life. The psalmist sings, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. 2 weeks later, I was in Niger, Africa. Most of the people I met had a lot less stuff, yet they were grateful, joyful, and loving. They didn't seem anxious, burdened, worried, fretting about where they were going next. Those with nice houses and fine clothes came out at night and ate and listened and laughed and celebrated with those in tattered clothes with no house but only a mat. Sharing love filled them with abundant life. By our standards, materially, they were very poor. In living life, they were so rich. 1 week later, I hiked to Inspiration Point in Yosemite National Park. I noticed a piece of asphalt, then noticed that once there was a parking lot where I was standing. Upon careful examination, I found smaller trees and brush, revealing where a road once came up the mountain. Someone spent a good part of their life working to build that road so that people with ease could drive up and enjoy the view. Then someone else spent a good part of their life working to remove that road so that people could hike up and enjoy the view from a pristine spot. Both loved Inspiration Point. Both were filled with joy at Inspiration Point. Their worries and work over a road versus a trail occupied a lot of their life, perhaps causing sleepless nights, grueling work, and heated debates. Yet all of that is fleeting, gone. But their love for Inspiration Point has drawn a multitude to experience that beauty. I shared their love and joy in that place, as will others for eternity. Today we celebrate God's nurturing love that we often experience through mothers. What do you think of the statement, "What you do is not merely as important as how you do it"? What is more important, a clean house established by fussing and yelling, or a dirty house overflowing with love? A luxurious house with strife, or a hut full of joy? Jesus said, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them." Barbara Barry Bailey said, "According to Jesus, the prime directive for us as people of God is simply this: to love one another. To love one another as Jesus loved us. To go deep within ourselves. To hear that still, small voice. To go deep within ourselves. To feel the strength of those everlasting arms. To go deep within ourselves. To rise to meet the challenge to love when everything else in our society tells us to strike out in fear. To love when everything else in our society tells us to lash out in hatred. To love when society tells us to release anger in a violent manner." God is constantly permeating the entire cosmos with love, you notes, to each of us, and with joy for us to discover and savor. To become one with God and each other, we need to receive God's love and share love. When I opened more of my senses to receive God's love, suddenly I saw an entire new dimension of joyful love. I woke up. My window changed. In my travels, I experienced beauty beyond my wildest imagination. The love of Leslie, Spencer, and Abigail became increasingly wondrous. All of this love and joy was there before. I was just missing most of it. And I'm sure that there is much, much more love and joy for me to discover. Over my life, I have strived to receive and share love by setting goals and doing spiritual practices, trying to find balance in life or rhythm in life by going on bike rides and hiking mountains. I felt that joyful love was something that I had to create, somehow muster up, that I had to balance out every dark moment with a light moment, that I had to get to some place, establish some state of mind or self-talk, produce some sort of feeling or practice some type of soul care to really be joyful and loving. I saw that there is joy and love in every instant, in every happening, even in the dark chaos of life. It may be the middle of the night where I am at, yet every second the sun is rising someplace. Land is being taken by the ocean, and I saw that. But I also saw lava creating new land. In every argument is engagement by both parties, a passion to journey to a better way of being. In every loss is a celebration of all you got to experience. In death is life. In fear is an opportunity to discover a new joyful experience. In struggle is growth. Love and joy is all around me and in me. I just miss most of it most of the time. Anthony DeMello explains that most people live their entire life asleep, never waking up. He says that our routines, our familiar paths, our expectations of ourselves, what we think others expect of us, our work, keeps us going through a constant array of motions and tasks. They keep us asleep. Our attitude keeps us asleep. Anthony said, imagine that you are unwell and in a foul mood, and they are taking you through some lovely countryside. The landscape is beautiful, but you are not in the mood to see anything. A few days later, you pass the same place and you say, good heavens, where was I that I didn't notice all of this? Everything becomes beautiful when you change. Or you look at the trees and the mountains through windows that are wet with rain from a storm. Everything looks blurred and shapeless. You want to go right out there and you want to somehow change those trees. You want to change those mountains. Something needs to be done. Wait a minute. Let's examine your window. When the storm ceases and the rain stops and you look out the window, you say, how different everything looks. We see people and things not as they are, but as we are. That is why when two people look at something or someone, you get two different reactions. We see people and things not as they are, but as we are. And seeing how very small I truly am, I sensed how much I am loved. I saw how a litany of my flaws kept me from seeing joy and love most of the time. In realizing how messed up and difficult I am as a husband, I received an entire new depth of love from Leslie, inspiring me to love her deeper than what I ever thought was possible. I changed my window. I woke up. Dane Hammarskjöld, I have no idea if I'm saying his name right. Hopefully I can get his quote right. He said, God does not die on the day we cease to believe in a personal deity, but we die on the day when our lives cease to be illumined by the steady radiance of wonder renewed daily, the source of which is beyond all reason. So I thought a lot about that statement on my sabbatical, and I tried to turn it around and kind of say it from the other side. I'm joyful when I'm aware of a mere snippet of the constant radiance of wonder, blessings, beauty, and love God shines on the entire cosmos and me every instant. My life may be in chaos, yet there is beauty everywhere. At the same instant, I am head down, buried in dreary feelings, crushing thoughts, and brutal circumstances. God is expressing joyful love through the beauty of every person, sequoia trees, green sea turtles, thundering waves, majestic mountains. And did you hear the part that I mentioned through every person? Even that person that you disagree with and you might find difficult just to be with? God is revealing joyful love through them too. Every instant, God is expressing joyful love through wonders around the earth that I have not ever seen. Just because I am unable to see them does not diminish their existence. And that is just here on earth. There is a cosmos full of planets, and every planet is full of wonders. And all of that is God trying to express love for you. Every instant, God showers us with an enormous orchestra of joyful love, hoping we will wake up. Every instant, God is permeating even the messy, painful, sinful disasters of life with a dimension of joyful love, hoping we will wake up. Every instant, God is revealing joy, love, and beauty through each person, hoping we will wake up. Today, we celebrate God's nurturing love and mothers who often wake us up. I'm not talking about just waking us up in the morning. I'm talking about waking us up to that joyful love. Jesus prayed for us to be one with God and each other, to see glory, to receive and share glory together as one. God is calling us to wake up together, to receive joyful love and share joyful love, bringing us together in perfect unity. So next Sunday, I will share another facet of this insight and some ways that I have changed and some hopes I have for our future together. The retreat will start with us listening to each other and end by us formulating new ministries. The agenda and talking points can be found in the green paper in the gathering space. Please come prepared to share. I'm excited for your insights will reveal more joy and love to me. And together, we can reveal more joy and love to the world. Amen.